woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. A snow-covered, for the most part, Great Lakes State, but it's all going to go away this weekend in a lot of the areas as we see temperatures nearing 40s and some rain coming in. So please don't take off to the ice just yet, okay? We all want to go ice fishing. We all want to take Brian Brosdahl's tips and go find new places and new fish and everything else, but it's not even, it'll be December now by the time this airs, but it's still early. Plenty of time left in the game to get first ice, so please allow yourself some time for it to form out there. Wild Michigan being brought to you by our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also our friends at Conquest Deer Sense. Look for the ATA-approved check mark on any of the deer scents out there, and Conquest Sense, guaranteed we'll have that on there. So pretty busy weekend. We are winding down. We have wound down the firearm deer season here in Michigan. That part has come to a close. We now move on to the late bow season and the muzzleloader season. But this deer season, this firearm deer season, was not without its tragedies, unfortunately. And, you know, we are very adamant about safe hunting here on the show and in our lives. Knowing your target, knowing what it is you're going after, and respecting property and land out there. But unfortunately, on the 16th of November, the second day of firearm deer season, there was a casualty in Bath Township, a little place just north of Lansing, a place that I have hunted quite often over at the Rose Lake State Game Area. A Mr. Yang was found to be deceased from a bullet wound, and I guess, you know, this is one of those things with deer hunting accidents. We usually have something, you know, some closure at this time, but we don't at this point. And it's been a couple of weeks since the incident, and we have Detective Brian Miller from the Bath Township Police Department joining us. Good morning, Detective. Thanks so much for joining us, and I wish it could be better. I wish you'd be talking about, like, the 30-point buck or something that you took, but we got a pretty serious case open here.
Right. I think it cut my hunting season down, definitely.
Yeah, well, you know, this is something that Rose Lake State Game Area is a very big place. It's open to the public to hunt, and it's a very popular spot. So if you can, whatever details you can give us that you have thus far with this incident, could you share them with us?
Sure. It was on the evening of the 16th, second day of gun season. And from what all I gather from the investigation, he's a seasoned hunter. I believe he was been hunting the Rose Lake area for around 25 years. He was out in public land. He was wearing orange. And just from what we can see in the snow that day, it looked like he went out for his evening hunt, was on his way back when he was hit by some kind of bullet. We're not ruling anything out. It's really too early to say the distance or the caliber used. Those are things we're working on to verify with the Michigan State Police Crime Lab. So we're leaving it open right now. It could be intentional act, could have been accidental, done from a distance. Those are things we just don't know yet.
Yeah, it's rather unfortunate. I mean, when any accident occurs, be it something that results in what we have here or not, you know, I mean, hunter safety is something we take very seriously here, and to have an end result like this, there are a lot of factors. And I guess what we're trying to do is basically jar somebody's memory. Maybe they saw something in that area. Is there a specific part of the Rose Lake area or a more defined general area that we can talk about?
There is. I'm not exactly sure the best way to describe it, or I'd say it's north of Clark Road, and it is one of the farthest northern parts of the state land there. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, really right in the middle of the country block. So you can't. It's really hard to pinpoint without looking at a map and pointing it out.
Right.
But north of Clark Road, there's not too many people who really make the haul that far out. It's better part of 3/4 mile to get out to where he hunts.
Yeah, that's actually pretty deep. Pretty deep cover, you know, and that really too is the mark of a serious hunter that's going to get in that deep to chase a buck. I mean, we know at that point of the year, after bow season, after the youth season, veterans hunt, and everything else, those deer are highly pressured, and I think he knew that. I think he was getting to a place that he might be able to get away from other hunters as well, because again, that's a very popular area.
It is. I can just tell you that just from walking out there again yesterday, the most deer activity out there was out where he was hunting. I mean, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, and you know, he had hunted in his own country, which I do believe is Laos, and then came to the United States and avid hunter for 20 some years out to that property. I think, you know, a smart hunter that he appears to have been knew the area, knew where to go. And again, if you saw anything, you know, or heard anything, this is just a kind of one of those things that, you know what, I might have seen him that day, or I might have been around that area that day and just passed him in hunting, because hunters are very conversational. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. We want to know. We want to know what you've seen and what you've heard, you know, when it comes to hunting in general. And I think that's why keeping this going, keeping the conversation going, is pretty important for us.
Right, and there were other tree stands out there. We don't know who they belong to. So those people, I mean, those are people, maybe they didn't hunt that day, but they might know who else hunts back there. And those are people we really want to talk to. And we have had a lot of calls in. We've talked to a lot of people. But, you know, it's not going to be done until we can talk to everybody. And anybody that knows the regulars in the area, maybe they know the cars that are regularly parked in, you know, a specific parking lot.
Sure.
I mean, those are all things that would help.
Detective Brian Miller is joining us here from the Bath Township Police Department. We're talking about an incident that ended in the result of the death of a Mr. Yang from Lansing on that day, on the 16th. You know, too, because we as hunters have to have our deer checked by the DNR, inspected, that area is going to have to come up on the inspection tag as to where people were taking them. So, you know, maybe if you're a processor or you saw something come through that day from the Rose Lake area because of the CWD issue that we have in Michigan, you know, it may jar a memory there. That's basically what we're looking for. It's just something that may say, you know what, I was around that area and I saw him that day, or I saw something that day. You know, anything's going to help at this point in time.
Right. You know, that's our point. There's somebody out there who knows something, and maybe they don't realize it yet, but that's what we're waiting for, that call that really clues us in and confirms, you know, everything we're looking at right now.
Absolutely. Detective Brian Miller is joining us here. Detective, how do we contact you? And, you know, so in case we have any kind of information that would help.
You can call our office. And that's 517-641-6271. And I also have a number here for Crime Stoppers. We contacted Crime Stoppers through WLNS last week, and they put the story out there on the news. And I have a couple numbers. And the nice thing about them is you can be anonymous with your tip through them as well. The number is 517-483-STOP. STOP, and they do offer a cash reward as well.
All right, so yeah, that's 517-483-STOP. That's Crime Stoppers. Like I said, you do not have to leave your name. Any information that you have would be greatly appreciated. And you know, maybe somebody's scared. You know, maybe this was an accident, and I guarantee somebody has said something to someone, because this is a big deal. And you know what? If this was an accident, definitely come forward, man. We're here for you as well. So, Detective Brian Miller, we really appreciate your help and your work on this investigation.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. More coming your way. This is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also Conquest Deer Sense. We are winding down the firearm deer season, getting ready for muzzleloader season, getting ready for bow season here in Michigan. Also waiting for the ice, waiting for safe ice to form, please. As we have said a bunch of times, please use extra caution when going out. And right now, probably not going to happen with safe ice for a while. So please give yourself a little opportunity to wait for that to form. And keep in mind also, Mark Martin's Fishing Vacation School is going on. Houghton Lake in January, Malt Lake in February, and Saginaw Bay the second, third week of February. So look into those and all the details at our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks again to Detective Brian Miller from the Bath Township Police Department joining us in the first segment of the show. Now I have attorney and spokesperson for the Yang family, Mr. Joseph Yang. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Good morning.
Good to have you here. And let's talk about something that you and I spoke about yesterday. You have the same name, and culturally you're related, but you're not directly related to the family.
Correct. Yeah, in our culture, because we have the same last name, we're considered in the same clan. So culturally, I'm actually an uncle of the deceased, because I'm one generation above him. But in American culture, we would probably be like fourth cousins or something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? And that's cool. Yeah. That's really interesting to learn about these, because Mr. Yang, the person that we spoke of who was the victim in a hunting, what we're calling a hunting accident at this point in the Rose Lake area on November 16th, was originally from Laos and came over to the United States because it was a war-torn country at the time that he decided to make his journey over.
That's correct. So during the Vietnam War, there was something that's been labeled the secret war in Laos. And so he was a resident of Laos at that time, and they were recruited as secret soldiers for the CIA to help traverse the jungles of Laos and Vietnam. And so he fought in that war, the secret war in Laos, during the Vietnam War.
Wow. So so a veteran somewhat connected to the United States at that time decides to make a journey here to become a citizen. And had hunted the Rose Lake area, from what I understand, for over 20 years. And he was in an area that probably a most experienced hunter and somebody that knows the terrain would be in. I mean, from what I understand, he was quite a ways in.
Correct. Yeah, he's an experienced hunter from Laos. He'd hunted that area for about 20 years. It's pretty deep into the woods. It's not just something close to the parking lot or anything
right.
that. And so as an experienced hunter, I saw some posts from some other hunters that commented on the Bath Township Facebook page that they've seen him out there before. He was a pleasant guy, and he was a familiar face to them. And so they gave their condolences as well. So that means a lot of people did see him out there. It wasn't like this was a new spot for him.
Sure.
He's hunted there a lot. So,
speaking with Joseph Yang, he is the attorney and spokesperson for the Yang family. And Joseph, we as hunters, as I spoke with the detective in the first segment of the show, are very conversational. It doesn't matter who's in the woods. You're wearing camo. You're wearing orange. It's like a unique family within ourselves, within the state. You want to know what you've seen, where you saw it. You know, not everybody tells everything, but it's a camaraderie thing, and this is why I think somebody somewhere had to see him possibly that day, or possibly know something, because if you're a fixture and hunters know that you hunt that spot, there is also a general acceptance that, okay, that guy hunts that area, I'm going to go to a different spot.
Yeah, most of the hunters I talk to, they kind of live by that. If somebody's there already, you're respectful, you go somewhere else, especially if it's public land. So everybody kind of shares the woods there. And of course, hunters and fishers, they always have their little secret spot that they kind of talk about but never tell where it exactly is. But yeah, I mean, in my understanding of hunters, when I talk to them, and I have a lot of family that hunts, it's kind of a brotherhood, and you look out for each other. Sometimes when Mr. Yang, he would kill, he would shoot a large deer, other hunters in the area would help him with that deer to get it back to his vehicle. So I know that most hunters have that camaraderie and that brotherhood kind of thought about hunting and being out there.
Absolutely. Now, Mr. Yang leaves behind a sizable family. Was it 5 boys, 4 girls? That's impressive. And he was working. He was going to tell me a little bit about his work, because from what I saw about your press conference, he was still working for the next couple of years to put the last one through college.
Yeah, so he does have 9 children, and he has one more that's still in college. And so he was planning to retire as soon as he kind of worked and got his son through college so he could retire and spend more time with his 15 grandchildren. And so he worked modest jobs, custodian style, maintenance style work his whole career while he was here. He came to the United States in 1988, became a citizen in 1997, and so he worked modest. He's a man of modest means, but he hunted to kind of help supplement his large family. But he, honest working man, like I said, paid his taxes, owned a home, was part of the community, and so he's kind of just your average citizen. So,
well, living the American dream, as we say, you know, as we have said,
yes,
you come up through the ranks, come up through legally, and work hard, and then, you know, make it a little bit better for the next generation to come through. I mean, look, everybody that has experienced that knows exactly what it is. And that's why this is so important to us, to help share the information. What we know is he was found in the north of Clark Road in the Rose Lake area on the 16th of November, which would be the second day of firearm deer season, in an area where he was very well recognized by a lot of hunters. And what we're doing, what we're asking for is the opportunity for somebody to come forward. Maybe you saw Mr. Yang that day, or, you know, knew of him and his hunting area, or, you know, or maybe you know somebody that was out hunting that same area that day. Anything is going to help. And we have contact information for both the detective and Crime Stoppers, which you can leave your tips anonymously. Now, the family, I've through our social media on our Wild Michigan Facebook page, I understand that the family has a GoFundMe set aside for reward for information.
That's correct. So in addition to the Crime Stoppers tip line, which has their own reward system, the family has set up a GoFundMe, and we are receiving donations on that, and I want to thank everybody for that as well. But we are willing to give a cash reward for tips leading to the person or persons involved. Look, we, as a family, we're just looking for closure.
Sure.
We're looking for somebody to kind of step up and say, look, maybe I did it. It was an accident. This happened, so that we can understand what happened. Because right now, there are a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. So
right.
We're looking for somebody who's willing to do that to help us as a family.
All right, Joseph Yang, thank you so much. Stay on the line, Joseph, and talk to you more here. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Let's slip away to northern Michigan, silver lakes and white pine trees. It's one light town to northern Michigan. We'll get there slow, enjoy the scene.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. All over the world on the website, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to everybody for joining us here. And thanks to our first couple of guests that we had on the show, because We were talking about the loss of a Michigan deer hunter, an experienced, very experienced deer hunter that was killed on the 16th of November. And if you have any information about that Rose Lake incident in Bath Township, by all means, you do not have to leave your name. You can call Crime Stoppers at 517-483-STOP. That's 517-483-STOP. Or call Detective Brian Miller at the Bath Township Police Department, 517-641-6271. And thanks to attorney and spokesperson for the Yang family, Joseph Yang, for joining us here on the show. We're not going to let this go. We're going to, you know, somebody out there knows something, and we want to share that information in the event this is an accident. Come forward, you know, or if you know the person and they're scared to come forward, help them come forward. Because there's a family that would like some answers, and they, the family, have put together a GoFundMe page, which you will see a link on our Facebook page, on our website, for reward money. The family doesn't want money. They want reward money to help them get the answers they deserve. So if you know something, say something. It's just that simple, and we're not going to give up. So it's just that simple there as well. Now, moving forward, our good friend David A. Rose joining us. How are you, David? Sorry to bring you in on such a somber note, but you are a fun person to talk to, and we're going to lighten things up a little bit because fishing in Michigan, even though it wants to create some ice, we don't have any safe ice that I know of, and as far as I'm concerned, with 40 degrees coming at us, I'm not going anywhere near it.
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate you having me on here and stuff like that. And I've been out deer hunting and whatnot and doing a little fishing. And, yeah, up here in northern lower Michigan where I'm at, up in the Traverse City area, some of our small ponds, they're starting to freeze over. And, of course, you know, that, first ice is always a fun time to get out and do some ice fishing and whatnot. But, obviously, there's a lot of springs that bubble up through the lakes and stuff like that. So it is not quite safe to ice fish yet. But we have some really great things to do up here fishing-wise. And when the wind is cooperating, and that's been our biggest enemy here lately is the wind, out in the bays, Grand Traverse bays or, you know, parts of Lake Michigan, even some of the bigger inland lakes, guys and gals are catching perch. And that is something to do this time of year that a lot of people, you know, before they put their boat away, who doesn't like to eat perch, you know? So, yeah, the perch fishing's been, that is one of the things to target. In fact, last year, I have the date mesmerized here because we had snow early on last year, but it melted. December 4th was the last day I had my boat out last year, and that was a perch trip up off of Charlevoix up there in Lake Michigan. We got a four-man limit of perch, and it was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, you could see the big front coming, and from that day forward, it snowed.
Wow. Yeah, I remember getting, you guys got snow, you know, pretty healthy amounts last year.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, where I'm at here in this northwest lower, we get that lake effect stuff. And it's funny, just I can go 30 miles to the east, and there's not as much snow, and the ice can be a lot safer. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we deal with is a lot of snow on top of the ice. And so that's what people need to watch out for. If you see a lake that starts to freeze, and then we're starting to get some snow on top of it, that insulates it, and that's where you really got to be careful.
David A. Rose is our guest. You can find him online, davidarose.com, wildfishing.com. David, let's talk about targeting those perch this late in the year. We know it's cold out. We know that they're out there, and there's no ice on the lakes, on the bigger lakes. So how are you going? Is this like a straight drop perch rig you're using, or you have some fancy details for us?
Well, there's nothing more basic than perch fishing. Basically, if you got a sonar on your boat and you're able to mark some fish below you, you stop, you anchor over them. Now, of course, nowadays people use their trolling motors to anchor over them, which is nice. And I got this frog in my throat. And basic perch rig. And you always want to take lots of different kind of bait out with you. Take some minnows, take some wigglers, take some little chunks of shrimp, even some of the night crawlers you had left over in the fridge in there. Take some of those because you never know exactly what they're really going to tune in on each and every day. But, yeah, that basic perch rig. And now in my neck of the woods, we got to fish them pretty deep. When we were off Charlevoix, like I was talking about last year, 145 feet of water is where we were catching our perch. So luckily the perch were good size. When you reel in a fish from that depth and, quickly like that. A lot of times they don't survive. So we kept a few fish that were maybe on the small side, but not really. But, you know, the perch were all 10, 11 inches, which were great. We got some 12s and 13s in there and stuff. So, but, yeah, mark them. Use a basic perch rig and take lots of bait.
Yeah, and that's something, too, because they have a tendency to pop at the bait. And, you know, depending on what you're using for hooks, that little 6 gold hook or whatever it is on your rig, you know, they can strip it pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah, they can strip it real quickly. And that's why, especially when we're in such deep water like we're fishing, wigglers and whatnot, that mayfly nymphs that you can buy, they strip off pretty easy. But, you know, a little chunk of nightcrawler stays on a little better. Shrimp stays on probably the best. So you're hoping that they like the stuff that stays on your hook the best. Because some of that stuff, you know, you get a couple taps and you miss them. Next thing you know, you're not getting any hits. Yeah, you're reeling in 140 feet of line to rebait. Send her back down.
David A. Rose is our guest here. David, answer a question. You're more in tune with the biology of fish than I am.
Okay.
Perch can be very ferocious, cannibalistic, mean, nasty. You get them up top, you put them in the bucket, and poof, they're gone. Why?
You know, I think a lot of that stuff, I mean, the fish move. You know, they got tails. They're not afraid to use them. They're just like any other fish. And they school up. And I think a lot of it has to do with it just depends on how much forage is underneath you as well, the perch. So if the perch are really searching around for wigglers and, you know, the natural stuff, the scud, the different mysis and all that kind of stuff, that's a little freshwater shrimp and some of the new exotics, shrimp and whatnot. But if they got to roam around and search for food, that's what they do. So that's why they can disappear out from underneath you so quickly. Is, you know, they're looking for food, and a lot of times you either have to go and find them, or if you just sit still, they'll roam back through.
Yeah, they you know, I have seen them, you know, school up, and again, instantly gone at no time. And, you know, well, wait a minute, they were just like a whole bunch of them here, and they could be 5 feet, they could be 100 feet away from where you're at.
Yeah, yeah, they don't usually move far, but, it can be frustrating. And, you know, actually this year, the few times we've been out perching, again, I say a few times just because we've had a lot of wind, that's when the biggest thing everybody's noticing is you mark some fish, you put that front trolling motor down, you hover over them, and they're gone. It's like, what in the world? And so, again, maybe there's just not as much forage. Or, you know, if you got a big area here and there's a lot of boats in there, remember your sonar is giving off a little ping. You can actually feel it if your boat's out of the water and you put your finger under it, and it ticks, tick, 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 tick. And you get a lot of these sonars that are very powerful nowadays. So you get... Mm-hmm. You know, 24 sonars up there pinging, that changes their environment, too. That's a lot of noise, and those perch might just move out of there if you got too many people.
Yeah, you know, I never thought about that, but I guess electronics can be our best friend and our worst enemy all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they know you're there, especially our water is so clear up here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say 140 feet, but that's not very far. It's just like looking across your yard or something like that. They can look up and see your boat, so they know you're there.
Yeah, it's just a question if they want to eat and participate and play along for the long ride.
Right, right. So, I mean, nothing better than perch dinner, but they got to cooperate just like any other fish.
Absolutely. David A. Rose is our guest. We're going to come back with David Moore. For all the details on all the things we talk about today or any other day, make sure you hit us up on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral and Conquest Sense, part of the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world. WildMichiganRadio.com. Find us on Facebook. at facebook.com/wildmichigan. You can also follow us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Check out our podcasts and email any kind of questions or ideas you may have for the show right there. You can contact me through all those links on the website. Real quickly in news, two new counties, according to the DNR, likely will be added to the list of Michigan counties where chronic wasting disease has been found. The CWD neurological disease that affects white-tailed deer, mule deer, and elk, along with moose. Now, when this was written by the DNR, people are taking into consideration, oh, what do you mean a 4-year-old hunter and a 2-year-old hunter? They need to look at the hunters. No. Read it. This is worded kind of weird, but it's a 4-year-old hunter-harvested buck, okay? A 4-year-old deer taken by a hunter in Pine River Township in Gratiot County, and a 2-year-old hunter-harvested buck, which is a 2-year-old deer that was taken by a hunter in Carmel Township in Eaton County, are both suspected to be positive for CWD. So I'm going to say, I'm going to lean on the side of caution and say they probably will be positive, okay, not confirmed, probably will be, and you can add Gratiot and Ingham County to the CWD core areas where we've already had confirmation in Clinton, Dickinson, Ingham, Ionia, Jackson, Kent, and Montcalm counties. This is not going away, and you can take your insurance company conspiracy theories and throw those out the window. You guys are driving me nuts with that stuff. So, that being said, I'm going to go back to the sanity of David A. Rose. Sir, how are you?
Oh, man, be careful how you say that.
You know, conspiracy theories drive me nuts. And when people start throwing around the insurance company want all the deer dead because they're getting tired of paying out, it's crap. Okay? I've heard a few radios click off already. I don't care. Okay? Get the tinfoil hat out. It's crap. So let's talk about something more productive. Show season coming up here in January. We have got the ultimate sports show, the ultimate fishing show, the oh my gosh, Outdoorama is coming. All this stuff is starting in January. I mean, ATA, SHOT Show, all of these things will be coming, but Michigan's shows are coming up in January as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's, I don't have my calendar in front of me, forgive me, but I want to say January 9th. It's a Thursday. It's going to be somewhere around in there. First show down in Novi at the Suburban Collection Showplace, the Ultimate Fishing Show. The building itself has actually expanded. It's huge.
Really?
And they're going to fill it. They're going to fill it with fishing stuff. So it's there's obviously you can buy stuff, you can get touchy-feely with all the new products, and it's 100% fishing show right here in Michigan. Again, that's at early January, starting on a Thursday and ending on a Sunday, and I want to say it's January 9th or somewhere in that vicinity.
10th through the 13th. I've got on the ShowSpan website.
You're a good man.
I am trying. January 10th will be the first day, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Suburban Collection Showplace. You can get yourself tickets via the showspan.com, and we'll have a link up on the website because we like going to this show, and we love giving away tickets to the show when we get them. And this is where the live action takes place, where you know, all of your favorite guides and the voice and information from David A. Rose can be heard.
Yes.
And seen.
There's a lot better information out there than for me, and there's a lot of great seminar speakers. That annoying voice you hear is mine, but I'm introducing other seminar speakers who are much more knowledgeable. You know, they're going to have, I do believe, Kevin Van Dam and Mark Zona. So there's two big bass names, plus they got, you know, all the steelhead guys and the ice fishing guys. Brian Brosdahl is going to be there, bro, you know, from Minnesota. So, yeah, a lot of big names, a lot of good information to be had.
Dan Armitage is going to be there, the daredevil lure that we all love will be there. Our friends at Caney Bass Stopper Lures will be there.
Yeah.
I mean, they have this big shanty truckload sale. And there's the Michigan Sportsman Against Hunger Food Drive as well. And this darn kid, Jake Romanak, will be there as well.
He's a tall kid.
He's, you know what? And he's probably, honestly, we had him on the show here last year. I was really, really amazed at his poise and how he carried himself for an interview. I mean, look, we know his dad is Mark Romanak, but as a professional, this kid is so far beyond his years, it's not even funny.
Yep, he's been he's been dealing with the shows just like we have for many years, since he was a little, I mean, I won't say diaper kid, but darn close, and just watching him grow up. And, you know, like you said, he's on Fishing 411 with his dad and, you know, doing things on his own. And, yeah, a lot of great information right there just in one person.
And probably the greatest wealth of knowledge for river fishing with spinner fishing, Jim Bedford will be there. Now, yeah. Mind you, I'm just going to say this because I really like Jim, but it's kind of like listening to Henry Kissinger doing a seminar.
He cracks me up. He's a great guy. He has a wealth of knowledge, and he's got that dry humor. And yeah, but when he talks, you know, he's a monotone guy, but that's great. He's got just pure information coming out on how to catch trout and all that from river, or anything, any kind of fish from rivers. Yeah,
man. He really is, and I mean that in the nicest of ways. Jim Bedford was on the show years ago, and it's like, I'm like, wow, we got that one out of the way. But
no, Jim's great.
But he is great. I jest because he is such a wealth of information. And to go to these seminars, to enjoy these people sharing what they love, I think it really comes out as the passion that they like to show. And it's really kind of infectious in a good way.
Yep. No, it really is. It really is. And like you said, if you want to just go drool on some new boats and all that kind of stuff, that's what these shows are here for. You can get touchy-feely with so much stuff that maybe you can't afford right now, or if you want to go buy a boat, this is the perfect place. And, you know, and like you're saying, it's all fishing.
Ultimate Fishing Show Detroit, January 10th through the 13th. That is the first one that will be coming our way. Showspan.com is where you can get that. And we'll have, again, a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com, because we still have Outdoorama coming up. We still have the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids coming up. There'll be a lot of things coming your way. You have the boat show there, and Outdoorama will happen February 28th through March 3rd. And the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids will be the March 14th through the 17th, always falls on St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
And that's when in Grand Rapids, at DeVos Place, you'll be watching the folks at the Grand River near the Fifth Street Dam starting to catch those steelhead.
Yeah, they bring the steelhead right into the building, and some of the Michigan steelheaders is there. They'll weigh them up for you and stuff. They might even clean them up and fry some of them right there in the building and stuff like that. And, yeah, as you're in the DeVos Place, the huge windows, you're just watching people catch steelhead, and you get to talk steelhead and all sorts of fish. So it's really neat.
Absolutely. And real quickly, too, to tout the prowess of the walleye meal that was at the Suburban Collection Showplace last year.
Yeah.
Literally, probably, David, this is no joke. Russ Bartel, my good friend, and I sat there. We had the walleye dinner, and it was literally probably the best walleye I'd ever eaten in my life up to that point.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Yeah, they call it a shore lunch, you know, in keeping in the theme of fishing and whatnot, and concession stands there. They actually bring in walleye and fry them up just like a shore lunch. You got taters and fries and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's all essence of fishing right there.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of good walleye in my life, but for some reason, Russ and I both looked at each other and said, "I don't know what it is, but this is literally the best walleye I've ever had."
Excellent.
And you know, will they duplicate it? Who knows? But I went back for seconds that time, so I made sure that I was not crazy. But
right. There you go.
What else you got coming up here? I mean, we're not even into winter yet, but there's so much more coming your way.
There is more coming my way. You know, by the time I'm talking to you, we're just a hair over the months for the first show, but we got steelhead fishing in all the rivers and whatnot. It hasn't been super gangbusters this year, but I got friends that have been out on the rivers, and they're catching fish, you know, hundreds, no. But they're getting some nice fish, too. They're getting some real big fish. They're all fresh from Lake Michigan on this side. And I'm sure the Huron tributaries have their steelhead, too. So, yeah, that's something to do. I'll be out muzzle loading a little bit if I don't suddenly get a deer tonight after talking to you. Who knows? And of course, you got all the small game stuff reopening back up, you know, with the squirrel hunting, rabbit hunting, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the archery deer, too. So, but fishing-wise, yeah, steelhead and those perch we were talking about.
All right, David A. Rose, appreciate you joining us as always. And, well, man, enjoy yourself. I'm sure we'll be talking to you long before show season, because we're going to get a complete rundown of what's coming to the Ultimate Fishing Show in Detroit, January 10th. But until then, good luck, man. Let us know how you close out your firearm deer season.
Beautiful. I will do that, and good luck to everybody out there.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here on the show. Another hour coming your way. Thanks to Detective Brian Miller. from the Bath Township Police Department. Again, if you know anything about what took place at the Rose Lake State Game Area on December 16th, please, please contact the numbers that are on our website or our Facebook page and help this family get some information so they can get some closure to this. All the details, again, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.